This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
So Robbins got away with a travel right there. He took an extra step. He got away with it. Can Gillespie capitalize? Here's Taylor for three. Got it! Oh, down Taylor! Made a pay. His first triple. It's 41-40 Gillespie. Clock running 55 seconds for the ball game. What a shot for Dominic Taylor.
The madness.
It's why they play him. It's already started, man. I tell you.
Gillespie had won four games all year, and go figure, they go in on senior night to Staunton and beat their rivals.
Well, there's Gillespie-Staunton. That's a rivalry right there. I mean, my gosh.
A long-standing.
Long-time rivalry, yes.
Right, so Staunton scuffing a little bit here down the stretch, but they will host the 2A regional, which will begin on Monday. Of course, Staunton will play Litchfield. Hillsborough will play Gillespie, 6 and 7:30, both live on FM 106. But congratulations to the Miners. And, Terry, you know, Gillespie this year is kind of what Staunton had dealt with the last couple years, where just a lot of lopsided games, not many wins to be had, but a young group of talent.
Young group, And, you know, every once in a while the young group will look like world beaters, and then they look like a young group of basketball players. And, you know, and we mentioned this with Hillsborough Litchfield, you know, and what, whatever the rivalry is. You get there a rivalry night late in the season, you know, all bets are off.
The three-point shot is the great equalizer, no matter if it's high school, college, or pro. The team that usually wins the three-point line wins the game. And last night, Staunton didn't make one.
Probably hit their first. Gillespie probably hit their first three-point shot of the night, didn't
they?
They did,
but they hit seven for the game. Had some big ones late in that fourth quarter. You heard Dom Taylor hit the one that put him up, but congratulations to the Miners and a very nice win last night.
So a good way to go out of the regular season and get ready for postseason play. So.
Exactly right. We'll talk
and where, where everybody starts 0-0.
And Gillespie's going in with momentum and good feelings.
So,
we'll talk all sorts about the postseason coming up here as Sports Saturday rolls along. We wanted to start with the Wrestling State Tournament as it will wrap up today. The WrestleBack quarterfinals began at the top of the hour here at 9 o'clock. The WrestleBack semis will be at 11 o'clock this morning. And then at 1 o'clock, they will have the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th place matches for all three classes at the State Farm Center. They will then clear the building out at 3:30. Reopen the doors at 4:30, and then at 5:30 the grand march. Is probably in a lot of ways the highlight of this wrestling individual weekend.
It's very, it's kind of legendary to be honest with you, and it's a part of the high school state wrestling tournament, and it's kind of like the opening ceremonies for the Olympics.
There you go.
Seriously,
that's a good analogy.
You know, it really is, and it means a lot to be able to participate in it. So.
But they're not going to have that dude from Tongo or whatever. He won't be there. The championship matches will then follow the grand
march. I don't think
the
they worry about lighting a flame or anything.
Oh, there's nothing of that going on?
No. They march in. And they do their wrestling thing.
That's still pretty good. They'll have their championship matches beginning after the grand march at 5:30. They will start with 106
But at
pounds.
The Summer Olympic Games, you could have wrestling with fire sticks.
There you go.
Now, there would be a ratings crowd pleaser there.
Or at the Winter Games, maybe you could have curling with fire sticks.
Ooh. With the stone on fire.
Hey, now we're talking.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What's the worst that could happen there?
What could go wrong,
you can't believe the building burned down.
And the broom self-destruct after a certain number of minutes, seconds.
The burning stone,
that I would watch.
Yeah.
So at the state wrestling tournament today, in 106 pounds, Bailey Powell of Litchfield, he will wrestle against Dayton Hall from Mount Carmel. The winner of that match will face Vandalia's Jarek Wordley, who lost in the championship semifinals. So he automatically moved into the third place semifinals or the WrestleBack semifinals, however you want to call it. So good luck to Bailey Powell today as he will try to advance into the WrestleBack semifinals. At 126 pounds, Litchfield's Cam Lee lost in the quarterfinals, but also won his wrestle back, so he will face Asher Wiegand from Eureka, and the winner will then face Ezra Elliott from Hoopston in the wrestle back semifinals. Also, Vandalia's Tanner Swain, he is into the wrestle back semifinals. He will get either Tyler Harris of Clinton or Dallas Kruger from Taylor Ridge, Rockridge. Of course, Litchfield had seven wrestlers up there total. Bailey Powell and Cam Lee were the only ones to win the wrestle back and advance on. So Colin Davison lost in his wrestle back. Tyler Thiessen lost in his wrestle back. Tucker Hughes from Carthenville lost in his wrestle back. And then Kyle Twitty and Blake Ewling both lost in their wrestlebacks as well.
And once you get into the wrestlebacks, the best you can finish is third place. So that's basically what you're shooting for in the consolation side of things. So.
At 182 pounds in 1A, Vandalia's Garrett Stewart lost in the quarters but won his wrestleback. So he will face Jake Frost of Tolono Unity. And then the winner would get Brady O'Hara from Beardstown in the wrestleback semifinals. Then Anthony Inlow from Vandalia at 285 pounds. He got to the championship semifinals and lost, so he is in the wrestleback semis. He will get either Alex Steidinger of Chicago Hope Academy or Nathan Toole from Lawrenceville. And then in 2A, Max Fritz and Johnny Dara of Mount Olive both lost in the quarters and both fell in their wrestlebacks. But, you know, the individual state wrestling tournament, Terry, is a lot like the individual golf state tournament, just in the respect, if you get there, you had beyond a great season.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And, you know, Mount Olive, again, competing in the 2A level because of the co-op program, where these guys, you know, won the regional and moved on to the sectional and went on to state. And you kind of have to tip your hat to Mount Olive and Max and to Johnny. So.
And if you were going to compile a list of the individual kids who just had the best sports season, Johnny Dare is on that list. I mean, he led South Max football team, just a powerhouse season on the ground, and then gets to the state tournament quarterfinals in wrestling.
That's a pretty good season.
That's a pretty good season.
And it's not over yet.
No, it's not.
Who knows what's coming up for the springtime. So, yeah.
So good luck to all the wrestlers still competing today as the individual state tournament will wrap up tonight, and then they'll have the dual matches coming up in a couple of days.
I think they are set for the 20th, I think, for Tuesday night, so if memory serves me right.
That makes it a busy week.
Yes, it does. Well, it's a busy time of year. By the way, Tim, we want to say congratulations to the Greenville Junior High basketball team, Greenville Blue Jays. They won the IESA Class 3A 8th grade state basketball tournament on Thursday night. So
they beat Germantown Hills 57-48. As the Blue Jays go 24-2 on the year.
24-2, so there you go.
You know, we see a lot of, you know, the local junior high teams will make it to state, but a very small percentage of them actually get to the state title game, and then even fewer than that actually win the whole darn thing.
Yes, yes. We've had several winners, though.
We
can brag about the fact that in our listening area, we've had several winners. And, you know, does it always translate to success at the high school level? Well, as far as going back to state, not always. No, it doesn't.
Rarely it doesn't.
And you know, a lot of times, you know, and there's a lot of different factors, you know, kids stop growing.
That's probably
the biggest factor that I see is that, you know, they've peaked out at eighth grade or maybe their freshman year and that's it. So.
Well, there's another thing to keep in mind with the IESA, and we love the IESA.
Yeah,
we love our
junior
high
team. They do a great job.
But you must remember, the IESA is not like the IHSA.
Right.
Every junior high team in the state does not participate. No. In the IESA.
There's about three different organizations in the state that deal with junior high sports. So the IESA is kind of the one that takes care of everything in the middle part of the state, the biggest chunk probably, and who we deal with on a consistent basis. So,
but
and they do a nice job.
Oh, they really do. But that is something to keep in mind when you're talking about the IESA postseason.
Yeah, it is. So.
But congratulations to Greenville, nonetheless. They won the whole darn thing.
Yeah. And the neat thing about the IESA is that they, especially for the basketball tournaments, they hold them in high school gyms, which are packed to the gill, and so you have a true state tournament type atmosphere, even though it's not a large arena, but, you know, it's full, it's noisy, and it's just a great experience. So.
Greenville was at Tolono.
Tolono.
That's where they were.
Yep, been there before.
Time or two.
Hillsboro, eighth grade girls.
You and the IESA are on a first name basis.
Yeah, I've done my fair share of games. It's just Terry. Okay.
Right. I think it was maybe when Litchfield had won their, I remember if it was the first or second. I did one of them, you did one of them.
Yeah.
But the one you did, I was back here producing, and you were interviewing our buddy Bobby Allen, and all of a sudden you're just gone. They shut the power off on you.
Well, that was Litchfield, seventh grade.
Okay.
Yeah. And then and all of a sudden, well, we're joined by Bob Allen.
You know, Terry? Terry? Where did Terry go?
Well, we were plugged in at the scorer's bench, and they pulled the plug.
There you go.
And that was the end of it.
So we're done.
We're done. Yeah.
That's that.
And that's how it happens sometimes. So.
Hey, speaking of being done, we got Fighting Illini basketball on Sunday. Hosting Nebraska, 1:30.
Yeah.
Then they go to Michigan State on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oof. Still haven't played Purdue either.
Oh, boy.
I think that, does that wrap up the season, Purdue?
Yes,
yeah,
I
think so. Yeah.
Nice way to end the season.
That is a nice way to end the year. Yeah. Two of the best teams in the country.
Well,
Michigan State and Purdue.
That's the Big Ten Conference.
And remember, the Big Ten Conference tournament is early
this
year. It'll be the same week as the small conference tournaments because they had to play in Madison Square Garden in New York City, of course. So because they had to do that, they had to move it up.
28th starts on the 28th.
So they will have a week off. When the actual real conferences, the big conferences are playing, Illinois will be done.
And to me, if, you know, if I'm CBS TV, because they always do the championship game, you know, I'd be ticked because that was always a perfect lead-in to the bracket show.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's a good point. Well, I would imagine though CBS is going to have some sort of other game leading
in because
they have the rights to the bracket, but I don't know what it'll be.
Yeah, but the Big Ten was to me was such a great fit, you know, and then right into the bracket show.
There aren't a lot of championship games left on that Sunday from the big conferences. A lot of them have moved to Saturday night.
So
that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man.
If they came out with the early seedings. They had a hole. So I thought that was ridiculous.
Which, well,
who cares?
They wanted to generate some publicity.
Yes,
that's all they wanted to do.
I guess it worked.
And well, of course, everybody jumped on it, and you know.
But then they're interviewing coaches. Hey, coach, you're a 3 seed. If the tournament started today, yeah, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. No.
It doesn't. So who cares?
So, well, and they put them in the certain, you know, north, south, east, west, and I'm going, how can you even do that? If you want to list the top 16 rated teams, fine.
Right.
Seed them 1 through 16. But don't be putting them in the east or the west or the south or whatever.
What a waste of brain power.
Oh, it is.
Because you know there's going to be upsets.
Sure.
There just is.
That's why they play conference tournaments.
Exactly.
Because they want those upsets. They want the money.
They always happen.
They want the green stuff.
You know, with the Olympics going on now, you know, you always feel so bad like that. Mm-hmm. Was it Nathan Chin, the American figure skater, who just fell apart the other night on the short program, couldn't land a single jump? You work your whole life for that one moment, and then it comes crashing down. Same is true for a lot of these smaller colleges. Yeah. You can have the best regular season, but if you have a bad game in the conference tournament, you're out and you're not getting an at-large bid.
No, you're not. No, you're not. That's the death knell right there. So
much pressure on those teams that are the best teams in their small conference league to win that conference tournament. Because they know if they don't get in, hello.
And I always thought it was so unique when the Big Ten Conference didn't have a conference tournament. I always thought that was great. They didn't worry about a stupid conference tournament. The Big Ten stood on its own.
What I wish, I like the conference tournaments, although I don't disagree with your premise. What I wish they would do, though, is make sure that the automatic bid to the tournament is for the regular season conference champion.
Right.
The regular season conference champion should get an at-large bid. And then you can still have an at-large or an automatic bid at play, at stake in the conference tournament. And if the same team wins it, so be it.
Yeah.
But the regular season
should
conference
count
champion
for
should count for something, especially for these smaller leagues.
Yeah.
And the tournament would be better overall, which, I mean, the tournament's great. Not like it needs a lot of improvement. But instead of having a team that's 14 and 16 that got hot,
At the right time.
At the right time. What about the regular season conference champion?
Won 22 games.
Won 22 games. Yeah. Rolled over everybody.
I don't know. That's the NCAA.
But if they did that, then they would say, well, there's not going to be as much intrigue in these conference tournaments. What's your point?
Yeah.
If there's basketball on, people are going to watch.
In
March, people are watching basketball.
Basketball. That's what we do. That's
be John Hopkins against Podunk U. It doesn't matter.
As long as you can find the cable channel. What is it?
With a True TV.
True TV. That's the one that always baffles.
Because why
people.
Wouldn't I look for my college basketball on True TV?
Yes, it's True
TV. It's sandwiched between an episode of Cops and Impractical Jokers. Oh, look, there's basketball here now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Followed by Murray and the rest of the gang on Impractical Jokers, yes.
That's actually not a bad show.
My wife loves that show. I can't get into it, but Brandy loves it, so.
It's a modern day show.
Oh, I tell you what, some of the stuff they pull.
Oof. With friends like those.
Why would you have enemies?
You don't need them. You don't need them at all. We do need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back. We'll start talking high school hoops following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106. And as we begin this next segment, we start with some breaking news out of Champaign. Litchfield's Bailey Powell defeated by Dayton Hall of Mount Carmel by a 6-1 decision. To end his run at state, whatever that means. 6-1 decision.
I don't know, David. You're asking the wrong guy there.
Yeah. Six points to one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you get so many points for reversal right. and stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So.
That from
breaking news.
Kyle Herschelman on Twitter. His
breaking
his Twitter
feed. Breaking.
You just
news?
Got Terry's ire up there.
Oh, that's one of those dumb things that radio announcers and TV announcers say. Breaking news. No, it's just news. Okay, it's not break. You break light bulbs.
Well,
you break
I'm breaking it.
Glasses. You break. You break. You know, water jugs. But you don't break news. No, I'm sorry. It's just news.
It's an inanimate object. Inanimate object.
Yeah.
It's not an inanimate object.
Like totally engulfed in flames. Oh, really? It's engulfed.
The hot water heater?
The hot water heater.
What about?
If it's hot water, why heat it?
What about whole entire world?
That'll be one of my...
The whole...
yeah.
The whole entire world? Yeah,
just
or just
the
a
world.
Small portion of the entire
that's
world?
Right. That's right. Yeah, I prefer a sliver of the entire world. Yeah.
That'll be one of the chapters in my book, Real Radio Life in the Cornfield. So.
We look forward to that.
Yeah, stupid things, radio announcer. And much of it is from me.
This segment's called redundancy.
Yes. And repetitiveness. Yes. Oh, did I say that before? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So coming up on Monday, the postseason will begin for 1A and 2A boys across the state. Of course, we'll have coverage from the Staunton Regional, also the Lincolnwood Regional. As we look at some of the matchups for 1A, Nokomis will be hosting a regional. They are the top seed there, not only in the regional, but in that subsectional as well. They have a bye into the semifinals on Wednesday. Well, they will get the winner of Edinburgh and Ramsey. The other regional games there, all quarterfinal matchups, four-seeded Neoga will take on Sangamon Valley, the 14. The winner of that game will get the winner between Buffalo Tri-City and Beecher City. That's a 10-13 matchup. But at least when you look at it on paper, Terry, it'd be very shocking if Nokomis doesn't come out of that regional on their home
court.
Yeah,
they deserve the number one ranking in that subsectional. And playing on their home court and playing the schedule they've played, you know, starting off with the Turkey Tournament and the bigger schools and being involved in the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. They well deserve the number one ranking. And quite frankly, you know, I think they're going to be a formidable, assuming they win the regional, you know, they're going to be a handful in the sectional.
So they're going to be a tough out in 1A, no matter what.
No matter where they go.
If everything holds in terms of seeding, they would get a rematch with Altamont in that sectional semifinal. Of course, they lost to Altamont on Altamont's home floor in the regional final last year. So
be a nice little rematch.
Yes, it would. And Nokomis is, they're a better team this year than they were last year.
And that sectional will be at Central A&M in Moquegua. So that's where they will feed into. The Altamont got the highest seed at the Hudsonville regional.
Yes.
They and St. Elmer are the top two seeds there. The other regionals that feed into the sectional at Central A&M, Windsor is hosting a regional where the top seed there is Central A&M. Mulberry Grove will play a Tuesday 6 o'clock game against Chrisman. And then Patoka, also having a regional, and Dietrich got the number one seed for that upper half of the bracket. So,
staying in 1A, but moving to the North Green sectional complex, Lincolnwood hosting a regional there in Class 1A. The Lancers, the 7 seed, will face Pawnee in the quarterfinal on Monday. It's a 7:30 game. We'll have the broadcast at about 9 o'clock on FM 106. The winner will move on to face 3rd-seeded North Green in the semifinals on Wednesday. West Central, the top seed in the Lincolnwood Regional. They are the 2nd seed overall in the subsectional. They will get the winner between number 8 Carrollton and number 10 Greenfield Northwestern. But that's a pretty good regional.
That's a pretty good regional and some fairly balanced teams there. So, you know, that's should be an interesting regional tournament that will feed into the North Green sectional.
Oh, that's weird. North Green has a sectional.
North Green has a sectional. How about that?
Weird.
And Mont Olive also has a regional, Tim, and the Wildcats are the number 6 seed. They will have a Tuesday night game against Brussels at 7:30. The top seed there, though, is Madison. They're the number 2 seed overall. So
Metro's the 3 seed in that regional at Mont Olive. Boy, it'd be nice to see the Cats be able to make
wouldn't
a
it, though? Wouldn't
they've got the talent to get it done.
You know, Mont Olive is one of those teams that's fun to watch.
They are
fun to watch. And as you pointed out, if they hit some threes, these guys are dangerous.
Well, they are. I mean, they got Kozowski, they got Baum, they got Conley. Yeah. I mean, those three guards on the outside, tough matchup.
So, and to be honest with you, Mont Olive, plays pretty well at home. So, You got to like the Wildcats' chances there.
Absolutely. As we move into 2A now, we'll stay on the top half of the 2A bracket with Trenton Westland. They will be hosting a sectional. They are the top seed at the Wood River Regional, and Southwestern is the 4 seed in that regional. The Piasau Birds will have a semi-final date with Carlisle on Tuesday, and then if they could win, a potential matchup with Westland in that regional final. And we're talking about Southwestern earlier, Terry. They won last night. Nice win, I think, over Pena.
Yeah.
One conference loss this year at the buzzer to Greenville. So Greenville wins the South Central undefeated. Southwestern just one conference loss, and it came at the buzzer.
And Southwestern's a pretty doggone good team. They've got a decent shot at this regional.
And they're a senior-laden club.
Yeah,
so
they are.
In a lot of ways, this group has been thinking about this postseason run for quite some time.
And they've had a good season, but... You know, you get in there in postseason time and anything can happen. So I think Southwestern's got a good shot. So
in the bottom half of that Westland sectional, you will find the Staunton Regional. Nashville is the top seed in the Staunton Regional, the 2 seed overall. Greenville got the 3 seed in a bye into the semifinals. The Comets will get the winner between Hillsboro and Gillespie. We'll have the Hillsboro-Gillespie game live on FM 106. Also, the Staunton-Litchfield game will be live on FM 106. And I'm telling you what, Litchfield and Staunton, that'll be a very interesting game. Litchfield's been playing some good basketball here down the stretch, and Staunton's scuffling.
Yeah. I think, as I mentioned, I think last week, Coach Logan, I think, has done a great job this year with Litchfield. And the Purple Panthers are a team that can come up and bite you.
And those are the types of teams I really enjoy, Terry, at the high school level, is when they were expected to do nothing, and they exceed their expectations in such a wonderful way. That is what really makes high school athletics to me enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, in teams that are about 500 are the dangerous teams in the regionals. They really are. And you know, Litchfield's about the 500 mark, and they're, you know, they could catch fire, and who knows, they could end up in the regional championship game very easily. So
I mean, remember at Christmas time with the Carlinville Holiday Tournament, Staunton and Hillsboro squared off, and at that point they were both playing some good basketball. They both kind of fell on some hard times here down the stretch, so we'll see if they can rebound in the regional quarterfinals.
And fans tend to forget, it's a long season. Basketball season extends through at least 3 full months, if not a couple extra weeks, and then you go to the postseason. So it's a long season, and there's a lot of ebbs and flows in the season itself. And you know, peaking at the right time is very, very difficult. So
that's why
I say teams that are about 500 are really the dangerous teams in the tournament.
Yeah, if you're playing your best basketball of the year right now, you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers, Matt Milberg. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Well, we were just talking about peaking at the right time, and certainly from the way you guys started to where you are now, you have to love the advancement of your team this year.
Yeah, we talked about that the other night. We played Greenfield at the Waverly Holiday Tournament and won in quadruple overtime and played them again on Tuesday. And held them to 7 points in the first half, and that's what we talked about, how well we've kind of grown together as a team. And we had some young guys starting early on, and to get the feel of the season throughout the season, we're very happy where we're at.
And Matt, sometimes when a season, I think you guys started 0-6 or 1-5 somewhere in there, and sometimes when the year gets off to that type of start, it can be hard to get it back on the rails. What was the key to getting it done?
We started 2-9 at one point at Waverly, and throughout my 6 years here, we never in that situation. And just like every coach has probably said, every season is different. We just told the boys all along that, you know, we knew we were hosting regionals at Raymond, and we knew that eventually that our record wouldn't be a factor, and that we just wanted to compete in regionals and get a chance to win regionals at home.
And I think your defense has improved as the season has gone along as well, Matt.
Yeah, that's been the biggest factor is defensively, just getting better every day. And, you know, as much as you guys know how much I, you know, preach that, whenever we finally start believing in ourselves and believing in the system and what we're talking about, I think things really started to gel together.
And I don't know what clicked for Matthew Mazzara the last couple of weeks, but all of a sudden he's averaging like 30 points a game, it seems like.
Well,
you're getting the ball to him. That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things is just the ability to play together. Some of the kids that haven't played with them as well know, you know, try to get the ball a little higher level than, you know, maybe a bounce pass here or there. But, you know, sometimes you don't know when it does, but sometimes your senior year you start seeing the end of the tunnel, and he's played well.
Matt, as you look at the regional here, just kind of your broad thoughts on the regional coming up next week.
Very competitive, that's for sure. We got teams coming from the west, and we think that we are very competitive at home for sure. As you guys know, in the past, when we play in our gym, I know I went and watched North Green last night, and they have an All-State Twins and the Hopper boys. They're going to be very tough task if we can get past Pawnee on Monday.
And getting past Pawnee, for whatever reason, Lincolnwood and Pawnee, you guys have had some battles over the years in the postseason.
Don't get me started on that.
Oh yeah!
You know, they gave me a chance back in the early 2000s, and I'll never forget the chance they gave me. But you know, I respect that school and respect that program as much as anybody. And the head coach now is one of my players that, you know, that I helped coach throughout the years, and I couldn't be happier for him. He had a rough year, but he calls me after every practice or texts me after every game, and we continue to talk. And when it comes down to it, usually we end up facing each other in the postseason with Ray Fenneman back in the past. And last year we had a triple overtime win at Pawnee. But it's a battle every time we get together.
You're getting old, Matt, when your former players are starting to coach against you.
I know. Don't.
And the great thing about Lincolnwood Pawnee, that's become such a great rivalry. It has been such a great rivalry over the years in virtually every sport.
Yeah, and I really enjoy, you know, they played here this year, and, you know, I had, you know, some guys that helped me along the way. You know, Steve Kirby helped me along the way. They were there, Jeff Seiler. You know, it's nice to talk to Dan DeWerf every once in a while. He always keeps track of me and over at Nokomis. And, you know, we still have that relationship and that connection there that we just, you know, never let go.
And, of course, a little co-op effort with the girls' basketball this year. And, you know, there's a connection there in football.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
So that regional is truly a wide open regional starting on Monday night. So
yeah, I know Greenfield and Carrollton have played this year. They played to a, you know, 5-point game or something like that. And I know you know, we played West Central the first game of the season and lost by 10 or so. And you know, we weren't they full court press, and we weren't quite ready for that, I don't think, at the beginning of the season. I think if we get a chance on Friday, if we can get there, we'll give them a good game at our home court.
Oh, yeah. Always play better at home.
That's right.
Yeah.
Matt Milberg, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck next week.
See you Monday night,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yep, thanks for having me.
The head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers, Matt Milberg. And that isn't, geography-wise, interesting regional.
Oh, yeah.
At Lincolnwood, you got West Central, you got North Green, you got Carrollton, you got Greenfield Northwestern, and then Lincolnwood and Pawnee.
Lincolnwood and Pawnee, well, you know. And how many times has Lincolnwood been traveling, you know, to the east? Nokomis traveled to the east or to the west, rather, and you know, make those long trips. So it's good to get them back in the in our neighborhood.
Yeah. And Lincolnwood and Nokomis do a fantastic job hosting those postseasons
as
well.
Yeah. So, but again, that's a wide open regional tournament. So, and pack the place, folks. Get out there and pack
the woodshed.
The woodshed. Yeah.
Where'd that name come from?
Well, it's wooden.
Who came up with it, though?
I
Kyle Herschelman.
Goes it Kyle?
Kyle Hirsch? Okay. Kyle
Clemens. For real?
I think so, yeah.
He claims ownership
of
that?
He claims ownership of that, yeah.
It's probably copyright. We're probably in violation of copyright.
Well, as long as we're not talking about his popcorn rating. Yeah. That's copyright.
You don't like those?
I love them. Well, the other night, I commented on the broadcast, I had knocked over my bag of popcorn. And so I commented, if I was doing Kay Hirsch's popcorn review, I would have to indicate that I spilled the bag.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
So that's a scratch.
Yeah, that's a scratch. That's
so
right.
You'll have to go back and get another bag. So, yeah. Okay.
Did you spill it on the playing floor?
No, thankfully not.
That's good.
That would have been bad.
You were in the corner, weren't you?
I was in the corner.
Yeah, okay.
I just stepped on it the rest of the night. It was good, though. It was good popcorn.
You find a lot of good popcorn around here.
It's all about the pork burger during football season all about the popcorn during basketball season.
Big porky. Oh, man. Shouldn't have said that.
So we've talked about 1A and 2A. Just a quick note on 3A. Alton Marquette Catholic will go 3A. They are the top seed at the Waterloo Regional. But since they did not necessarily play a 3A schedule, their regular season is over.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be off all of next week, and they will play on Tuesday night in the semifinals. They will get either Muscoota or Freeburg, and then a potential date with CM in the regional final.
Wow.
I'll be very interested to follow Marquette Catholic in the postseason this year, because obviously if they were in 2A, I mean, they'd be state-bound. There really would be not much of a question about it. But in 3A, it is a completely different animal, as they are well aware of. But, I mean, they could potentially have to run into an East St. Louis to get through the sectional.
Yeah. Bigger, quicker competition. Yeah. You know, that's just by moving up. And to me, the classes, the difference between the class.
The biggest gap is 2A
biggest,
and 3A.
Biggest gap is 2A and 3A. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, 1A, 2A is pretty close. 3A, 4A is pretty close. But between 2A and 3A, there's quite a jump there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the small school, big school divide there. You know, 1A, 2A, you have smaller schools and small schools.
Yeah.
3A, you have big schools and bigger schools. But between 2A and 3A.
And the speed of the game is just so much different and played closer to the rim. So.
Absolutely. In the girls' postseason, there was an upset the other night. Mm-hmm. Civic Memorial, who had trucked people all year long, lost on their home floor in the regional final. I meant to look it up. I forgot. Foul shooting was their problem. They missed a bunch of foul shots.
Wow. To lose on your home floor after
when you had the year that they had. Yeah. And, you know, we talked kind of about it. Maybe not so a lot on the air, but we had a number of conversations throughout the basketball season about how with them beating people down like they were, that's fine, you know, but it's not going to help them come playoff time when you get in those tight ball games. And wouldn't you know, tight ball game in a situation they weren't in a lot this year.
And that's why I say, you know, statistics can be deceiving. How, you know, what are you shooting in a 2-point ball game in the last 30 seconds of the game? Versus a 20-point lead in the last 30 seconds of a game. You know, statistics can lie.
They often do.
So,
what do you shoot in the last three minutes of a regional final?
What have you done for me tonight?
What's your percentage then?
What have you done for me tonight? That's what it's all about.
Well, it's like last night. I have no idea what Dominic Taylor's 3-point percentage is, but I know that he didn't attempt one last night until he hit the one that put him up.
There you go. Like,
What do you do in that moment?
Which is why we love sports, because it's the best reality show going. It really is.
You can't script it.
You cannot script it. And about the time you think something, you know, is going to fall into place, things happen. And, you know, there's so many different factors involved where, you know, In every sport, you're off just a little bit one night. You're a half a step slower. You know, the officials are calling a game tighter, which happens. You know, that sort of thing. So it's just, you know, fascinating to watch these teams play. So
and then on the opposite end of CM last night, Edwardsville survived. They played Belleville East on East home floor in the 4A regional final and won by a point.
By a point.
I think they're still undefeated.
I think so too. 27-0, something like that.
Remember, they were undefeated into the state championship game last year and lost at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori Blade is one of the great coaches in the history of Illinois athletics in general, with what she did at Carrollton in basketball and softball, what she's done with Edwardsville now. And not many coaches go from the smallest of small at 1A to the biggest of big in 4A and can continue to have the same level of success. That woman can coach.
She can
flat out coach.
That's right.
And she's one of those guys, Terry, she'll take your players, beat her team, and then she'll take her team and crush your team.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, she's got her fingerprints all over the program, you know, from top to bottom. And that's why she's continuing to be successful.
And for all, you know, Edwardsville sports across the board, wild success rates. But the girls basketball team did not have the level of success pre-Lori Blade that they have had during her tenure. But, I mean, they are consistently one of the top-ranked teams in state, consistently getting to the sectional final, or beyond. Mm-hmm. And it would just be great to see them finally get over the championship hump. And I mentioned last night during the broadcast, you know you've established the program when your hump is winning the state title.
Yes,
game.
There you go.
That's the hump you got to get over. Not a regional final or a sectional final. Winning the whole thing.
And they would deserve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she would deserve it. So.
And for the way that their season ended last year, to lose the players they lost.
What a great game that was.
Oh
my gosh.
Title game last year?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was one of the great ball games in the history of girls basketball.
They were a rebound away from getting the undefeated state championship.
So.
And then 1 year later, here they are.
Here they are again. So.
I just love
it
that.
It just keeps you coming back, doesn't it?
I love Edwardsville just because they basically are the torchbearer for the southern part of the state in terms of the big schools. They play the biggest of the big Chicago schools. They don't shy away. They travel up there regularly to play regular season games. They're always going up that way for the postseason.
Going into Missouri.
Absolutely. They go where the talent is, and that's across the board. So I always love it when Edwardsville makes deep runs.
Not afraid to play anybody.
And nope.
You got a game, we will travel.
Exactly and
right. They do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. So,
hey, good luck to the Plains Lady Cardinals. They'll be playing in the 2A Super Sectional coming up. And, of course, if they can get that win, they'll be bringing home a state trophy.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the football team brought home a state trophy. Now the girls basketball team a game away from bringing home the state trophy.
And Monday night are the girls Super Sectionals for 1A and 2A. And, gosh, it's hard to believe that we're this late into February and the basketball season is winding down into March Madness and... Where did he go?
It'll be a fun couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Up here.
Yeah. So.
We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106. And before we rejoin Tim and Terry, we have an update from Champaign. Cam Lee won his consolation round 2 match over Asher Wiegand and advances to face Ezra Elliott in the WrestleBack semifinal. So he, at best, can finish third. No worse than sixth.
There you go.
Terrific. Terrific.
Those WrestleBack semifinals will be about 11 o'clock this morning in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth place matches at about 1.
Tim, before we get any deeper into the sports show here, and we're getting towards the end of high school basketball season, just a big thank you to all the coaches that we deal with, the athletic directors, you know, the custodians that help us out when we go to these ball games. We're treated like royalty, and we appreciate it that, you know, we don't deserve it, but we are treated so nice, and we really appreciate being guests when we show up at these broadcasts.
That's what we are.
And we are guests, and we, you know, we appreciate all the work that goes in behind the scenes and just the cooperation we get with our schools. So really terrific people we work with. And for years I've said the greatest thing about the job that we have is the great people that you meet. And we meet so many wonderful people. And, you know, that includes our advertisers that make the broadcast possible. Without them, we're not able to do these ball games. And, you know, we really appreciate it. So.
Well said.
Yeah. And it's a fun time of year. It's one of the most wonderful times of the year with regional tournament week. So.
Of course, another wonderful time of the year is always when baseball gets back in full swing. And a week from today, we'll have our first spring training broadcast for the Redbirds. They'll play the Mets 11:50 next Saturday morning on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.
Yes, and then the Sunday game is 11:45. So I think the rest of them are 11:45. So, but every Saturday and Sunday, we'll have spring training games. And before long, the season will be underway. And
all 162 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.
Yep. All of them. So, by the way, it's a great way to get your message out on Cardinal Baseball. Just contact the radio station, talk to sales manager Mike Niehaus. Sales manager Mike.
There you go.
He'll get
your
you
man.
Set up. He's your man. He's got the deal for you. So, there you go.
It'll be interesting to see what type of year the Cardinals have. And it seems like the fans in the front office are operating on two different realities and planes at this point in time.
Which happens frequently with Cardinals, I think.
Does it? Because I've always gotten the sense that, for the most part, the fan base fell in line with what the front office was doing. They were buying what they were selling more times
than
not.
There was a level of trust there from the fans.
That's probably
I think since the Matheny era has begun, though, that has...
Slowly eroded.
Eroded.
Slowly eroded. And...
Not that Matheny strikes out or, you know, throws to the wrong base or anything. He's just the manager. And, you know, but he is supposedly in charge of the ball club.
That's what they tell us.
Yeah.
The The roster to me is not remarkably better. You could make a case that the roster might actually be worse. Marcelo Zuna, great addition. No question about that. The pitching staff to me is spotty at best.
Yeah.
Rotation and bullpen. To me, where their improvements have come, and I don't know if this is a good thing or not, the coaching staff is better.
Yeah.
Oquindo's gonna make them better.
Yeah.
Willie McGee's gonna make them better. Mike Maddox is gonna make the pitching better. Ozzie Smith's gonna make them better.
Yeah.
But Jose Oquindo, having him back, that will improve the defense.
Yep.
It will improve the base running. Those two things will be better just because of Oquindo.
And they were awful. The last two or three years, they were the worst base running team in baseball.
And you know who wasn't there?
Jose Oquindo.
Jose Oquindo. Yeah. As soon as he left, those two fundamentals fell off the cliff. And it wasn't because Mike Matheny wasn't talking about them, but they obviously weren't working on them.
Yeah.
And we've seen this, especially last year. There was no accountability from Matheny when the Cardinals made a terrible base running mistake.
And
he defended it.
And they made a lot of them.
They made a lot of them.
There still appears to be no accountability with the Wainwright / greatness comments from Matheny.
Right.
What do you expect realistically from Wainwright this season? Greatness.
Realistically.
Realistically, Mike.
Realistically.
Greatness.
Greatness. Okay.
Okay.
I hope that's what happens.
So that means you're not going to hold him accountable whenever he struggles.
Yeah. Well, you know that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know that's not going to happen at all. But if the base running can be improved, that's my biggest takeaway is I'm glad Jose Oquindo's back on the
scene. Yeah.
And that's probably a little bit problematic for what they've actually done in terms of producing a championship club when you can say that the best thing they did was bring Jose Oquindo back. Like Marcelo Zuna's a nice acquisition.
But you know what? Cardinal fans know what he means
to
the ball club and what he means to the organization. So, and we saw him perform at a high level when he played. So.
Gotta get back to the fundamentals, especially when they're probably the third most talented team in the Central Division. So when you don't have the most talent, you better do it with fundamentals and smart play.
And I'm interested to see how Mike Maddox is going to interact with the pitching staff this year. Maddox has been known to be a very good pitching coach and will undoubtedly do things different. And I'd like to see how aggressive the Cardinal pitchers are going to be now, trying to use the inside part of the plate and, try to expand that strike zone more than what they've done in the past. So.
Well, he doesn't have three Cy Young caliber pitchers on his staff.
No,
he
doesn't.
In Washington.
You know, and Lance Lynn is still out there.
The Cardinals, there must be something wrong
so,
with Lance Lynn. Because, to me, I don't understand why the Cardinals haven't re-signed him.
Yeah, you know, he eats a lot of innings.
Bulldog.
You know, he's out there every fifth day, and the guy throws strikes. I mean, throws fastballs, throws strikes, and, you know, very, very seldom has a really bad game. He keeps you in every game. This is his second year coming off Tommy John surgery, which means he's probably going to be pretty darn good. I don't know.
I think they feel they have younger starters who are as good, if not better, who can pitch for them. Multiple guys who can pitch for them.
So it's a money thing, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where the Cardinals, to me, public relations-wise, have ran into a problem with their fan base this offseason. Because they ended last year talking about all the money they had to spend, how aggressive they were going to be. And they're trying to say that they were aggressive. I would have to respectively disagree.
Aggressively cheap?
I mean, they got Ozuna. You can't take away the fact that they got Marcelo Ozuna.
One bat.
That's one bat. And after they did that, they did nothing to drastically upgrade the club.
And there's been a couple of people have asked me, why are there so many free agents still available? Well, it's because of the free agent class coming up next year with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I swear to God, I think, you know, Harper's going to end up being a Cub because they're going to throw so much money at the guy.
Well, him and Chris Bryant are childhood friends.
Yeah, and so, you know, what the owners are looking at this year, they're actually looking a year ahead and figuring, well, we're going to have to pony up big time. And if we're going to be in the free agent race for next year.
Someone must have locked Artie Moreno like in a cube somewhere because he hasn't signed anybody. He hasn't overpaid for anybody.
They got Shohei Ohtani.
I'm talking about overpaying for people.
They couldn't, though. Right. I mean, he was only allowed to get a certain amount of money.
Right. But why? I'm surprised they haven't thrown $200 million at Lance.
Yeah.
I threw some money at Zach Cozart.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
Why wouldn't they do that?
They might also be trying to get under the luxury tax lower and lower so they can get it next offseason as well. They're trying to win while Mike Trout is still an angel. which isn't that much.
Well,
longer.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's an aging ball club there. That's,
of course, if Albert can stay healthy this year, he will be moving up that career home run list.
He's almost 3,000 hits too. He's going to eclipse that this year if he stays healthy, because he's over 29. I think he's at like 29-30 something.
Wow.
I would love for Albert to be able to stay healthy enough to play out this contract at a reasonably decent level of play, be able to get to 700 home runs, get to 3,000 hits. I don't know where his RBI total is, but he's going to be way up on the career RBI list by the time he's done.
Four guys have ever hit or ever driven in 2,000 runs, and he's over 1,900. He's almost to 2,000.
He's getting there then. So,
and is there a chance that the Angels would actually play in St. Louis this year?
Not this year.
Not this year.
No.
Baseball has done a nice job of making sure apparently that's never going to happen, which is disgraceful.
Yep. It is.
The Cardinals have been to Anaheim twice since Albert's been there.
And they had never been there since the late 90s.
Yeah, that's just that. That's baseball missing an opportunity.
Oh, wow. Big time.
And it makes you wonder if maybe someone, I don't know, this is just a pure opinion and speculation. Yeah. But it's almost like DeWitt had to say, I don't want him back.
Makes you wonder. But my goodness.
Because he'd get a bigger ovation than any of the Cardinals players.
Yeah.
It'd be all about Albert. It'd be very little about the Cardinals. And the narrative would be, well, you let him leave.
Yeah.
You let one of the greatest players of all time leave.
Well, it was good that they didn't do it in 2013, because unfortunately it probably would have been pretty mixed, the ovation. Because that's right after.
Oh, yeah, it was raw. Yeah.
What, 2016, I think?
I think people at this point are over it.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you got to remember, too, at that time, the Cardinals were still high level.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they were still coming off of the La Russa Pujols era, so they still had that championship caliber club. That slowly has gone down the mountain here the last few years. And the great, because remember, the first couple of years he was gone, like, well, we don't need Albert.
Yeah.
Look, we're still winning.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
How's that working out for you now? Yeah. With that said, Albert's breaking down.
Yeah.
Like, if he was a Cardinal, he would probably be facing very similar things, because the man just can't play the field anymore because his body's breaking down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's his lower half, too, that's doing it.
Well, without a sturdy base, it's tough to play.
That's right.
I mean, that affects your hitting. That affects your ability to drive in runs, to drive the ball, to, you know, run the bases.
What's amazing is he still has a career average of .305. He's been terrible in his Angels career, like batting average-wise.
And that's been the biggest difference for Albert as he's aged here. When he was in his prime with the Cardinals, which was 11, I mean, he had an 11-year prime with the Cardinals, he would spit on pitches that were 2 inches outside. Yeah. He would laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
He never chased anything. And then when you made a mistake, he crushed it.
Yeah.
He chases everything now.
Yeah.
Well, what hurt him was moving leagues. I mean, he basically had to learn a bunch of new pitchers late in his career. So had he stayed in St. Louis, I don't know that the decline would have been as drastic.
I don't think it would have been.
He would have been facing familiar pitchers, but he had to learn a whole new league, and that contributed to it.
Yeah, no, there's a long list of guys who, when they switch leagues, they struggle to adapt.
Sure,
sure.
And there's so much money involved.
Oh, big dollars.
Yeah.
He still got a 10-year personal services contract afterwards.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
He's still got 4 years left on the current deal.
On the playing contract, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's ramping up towards $30 million a year, too.
Yeah, I think he's at 28 or 29 this year.
Yeah, I think he adds $1 million each year to the end of the contract.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Backloaded.
Well, they call that new math.
There you go. There you go.
And TV money, that's what they call
TV
that.
TV money. So the Cubs signed Yu Darvish.
Yep. Yeah.
They are primed for another big year.
That move doesn't scare me as much as it annoys me.
It annoys you?
As a Cardinals fan.
Okay.
Because I'm not scared of Yu Darvish, but it annoys me that the Cubs were already favorites in the Central and they made a move to get better, and the Cardinals here are not making moves to get better.
The Cubs are going for it.
I know. Yeah. They are.
When you don't win for 100 years, when you've got your window, you better take advantage of it, and they are.
They're going to be good for a long time. They just are. They're young. They've got the core group together. They keep adding pieces and improve each year. So,
the Cardinals have not responded the way you would have thought they would have responded to the Cubs' resurgence.
Yeah.
They have. I don't know if panic's the right word, but they have done some curious things since the Cubs became viable threats.
They're not even the second best team in their division.
They're not.
Cardinals.
The Brewers have gotten better.
Yes, they have, and they were already better. They were better than the Cardinals last year, and they improved.
This is true.
This is baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to work on a multi-year plan, although it's a head-scratcher.
It's just that their plan doesn't – like, if their plan was to try to kind of retool and get better for a couple of years, that's a great plan.
Yeah.
But don't tell me you're going to go out and spend a bunch of money and compete this year.
Yeah.
What money?
Some mixed messaging.
Yeah.
They don't have money. Until they spend it, they don't have money.
But we will have Cardinals next week on AM 1540, FM 106.9, beginning at 11:50 as they take on the Mets.
The Moon Man's getting ready.
The Moon Man's getting ready.
It's like Schrodinger's cat. It's Schrodinger's money for the Cardinals. You know, until do they have it or do they not?
Is the cat alive or is he dead?
That's right.
Okay.
It's in a box right now, and we don't know if they actually have it or not.
Actually, it's, well, we do know, but anyway.
Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.